This is Neil Whiteside. Cambridge 105
Radio. Now, a brand new charity has launched this morning here in Cambridge. I'm sure you probably noticed. There's a big article about it already in this week's Cambridge Independent. And it's great to get two of the founders into the studio straight away to talk about this charity and its aims. I'm joined in the studio by Alison Taylor. Very good afternoon to you, Alison.
Hi there. Hi.
And by Simon Humphrey. Simon, very good afternoon.
Afternoon.
All right, so the charity we're talking about, Cambridge 2030. So that instantly seems to say 10-year aim. Tell us about it. Tell us how it all started.
Well, the 10-year aim is linked to the delivery of the UN Sustainability Development Goals. And these are goals agreed by the United Nations and then agreed at individual country level for deployment both at the local and the national level, but also globally. What we've seen that in Cambridge is that the social conditions, the inequality, seems to have grown. Now, these goals were launched in around 2017, and we're not actually seeing delivery being measured and then reported upon and then acted upon to identify the gaps where we're not achieving those goals. We haven't seen that happen. And so Alison and I got together with various other people over the last 12 months to really look at how we could do that, how we could build capacity to identify the gaps and actually deliver those sustainable development goals for Cambridge to make us a fairer and more equal city by 2030.
OK, I mean, we as a radio station, we're always in touch with charity. There's a lot goes on in Cambridge, isn't there? There does seem to be an effort, there does seem to be a will to do things. But is it kind of we're just mismatching resources? And
no, I think there's masses of really good, valid work going on. I think one of the issues is that there are lots of small organisations working potentially in silos and not enough resource and not enough funding for them to have a sustained positive impact on the issue. So where we see we've had an anti-poverty strategy in Cambridge since 2014, the figures just keep getting worse. And I think it's not, as I say, not because nobody's doing anything, it's because we need to do more and we need to identify the things that really work, put resource and capacity behind those, and make sure that they're sustainable so that we start to break the cycles of poverty that we see in Cambridge.
I mean, so much of the work that seems to be done seems to be relying on targeted funding, doesn't it? That money comes in for a project and that's great, but then that funding dries up. And are you able to perhaps go, well, that's okay, over here there's another project or there's another pot of money? Are you able to sort of monitor everything that's going on and go, well, hang on a minute, we could do that?
Yeah, potentially that's what we need to do, is a big mapping exercise to
right.
identify where funds are, where there are gaps in resource and where the agencies aren't able to deliver what's needed. So that's what we'll be doing, pulling together public, private sector, community, voluntary groups, asking private sector to contribute more where they have resources in terms of people who could be volunteering their time, to add capacity to what's already being delivered by the charities, for example, or where there is a need for a particular pot of money or a particular sort of resource, to make sure that we're doing more of the right things that we know will have a positive impact.
Okay. Now, you, as we say, it's kind of a soft launch because you've had this idea for a while. You've been building it. But where are we at this morning? Have you brought together a bunch of private organisations and charities? What's your makeup looking like at the moment, Simon?
Well, we've got a range of different organisations, both charities, corporate businesses, and also the support of the council, to pledge their support and their contribution. And what we're doing through today's soft launch in the Independent and through talking to you is just starting the process of raising awareness of what Cambridge 2030 is trying to do and making it clear that this isn't just another initiative adding to the mass of other existing initiatives, but this is something which will support the delivery of all of those different organisations, that will bring together the matching capacity both with the people and with the funding and with the need, to really make a difference and to encourage that cooperation. And what we'll be doing today through the website, additional organisations can download a pledge form and commit their support and commit the support of their people to helping to deliver that aim. Now, we've also called it soft launch because, again, we don't want to make a huge splash and distract people from the work that existing organisations are doing. That everything we do and aim to do, both with those organisations and with the private sector and public sector, should be additional. And it should actually be very well thought out before we start to make waves which may flood those the most needy. And so soft launch is all about how we do this very carefully so that we bring everybody together, we leave no one behind, and we do this as a collective of Cambridge.
And what I like about this already is we had the It Takes a City initiative, which all came together about a year and a bit ago now, November 2018. God, blimey, time flies, doesn't it? And that seemed to aim to do particular things in terms of homelessness, rough sleeping. And yours is incorporated. ITAC is part of your organisation, so you're sort of kind of taking that, and there's a body of work going on there, and widening the whole remit under Cambridge 2030. Have I kind of got that right?
That's absolutely right. So they're doing some very important work, obviously, and what we hope to be able to do is add to that and bring them into partnership with other organisations that are working with those people in need in other ways, so that we start to join up the gaps and make them more effective and to make the whole thing sustainable.
And I guess at the moment you're looking at it. Where do you start? Because it is a bit of a trick to go, well, hang on. If we do this, then that. Oh, hang on. It's this over here. It is. Yeah. I used the analogy before we came in. It seems a little bit like, you know, at the moment we're a finger in a dam, and then suddenly someone looks across and goes, hang on a minute, there's another crack in the wall. Where do we start?
And that's absolutely right. And Simon mentioned the UN Sustainable Development Goals, which is a really handy framework for us of 17 goals. And if we address all of them, we will make a huge positive impact in Cambridge on inequality, amongst all sorts of other things as well. So that's what we are looking to do. They all interlink. So if we take a life course approach to addressing inequality in Cambridge, which is what we're advised to do, then if we start at the very beginning of that life course, at beginning before birth to age 5, as phase one,
right,
and look at what we can have a positive impact on there, working with the council, looking at all of the evidence from across the UK of what works really well to help families bring their young people out of poverty.
I'm going to say stopping them going into the system.
That's
to start
absolutely
with.
Absolutely right. So starting at that beginning stage and then looking at the next phase in the life course and so on until we get to...
Because there's all these points at which people can drop out and wind out in trouble, aren't there?
That's
education,
right.
And then apprenticeships and things like that, all the way through, and then housing and on it goes.
And what we hope is that in time all of these phases will be running in parallel, so we'll be looking at how we're working with the elderly and helping to address some of the issues that come with poverty in the older generations, as well as working with our real youngsters and looking at how do we make sure that they're school ready and all of the things that are really important for them if they're going to, as adults, be able to have a healthy and positive life.
So this is what I love about Cambridge. I love about Cambridge when people look at a problem and then decide, right, here's a way to fix it. That's what I love about this city.
Well, I think the point is, if we can't do it in Cambridge, we can't do it anywhere.
I would absolutely agree. I absolutely agree. I think it's the best minds. And you just look down, I can imagine, big bit of paper and a couple of coloured pens. But it's the way to do it. Are you looking, is there anything you need at the start? You seem like you've got your act together, and as you say, a gentle start to start with. But are there some bits that, yeah, we're up and we're running, but we could really use this? Is there anything you're looking for?
I think and I'll ask Alison also to add to what I'm going to say. But we are looking for organisations to formally pledge their support.
Right.
So that we know that they are committed, engaged, and that we'll be there to help deliver on the need. But beyond that pledge, we will be needing additional core funding. We've had some core funding already, and we've had some commitment of contribution towards a core resource. But this project can't run using volunteers. And that's really critical, actually, to solving any of these issues across Cambridge. So many of the organisations currently in delivery mode rely on volunteers to support a diminishing full-time staff. But that need cannot be sustained, and that leads to this constant breakdown in the achievement of the reduction of inequality, where volunteers simply cannot deliver. And so what we will need as an organisation are full-time, qualified and quality people to ensure that this is delivered and to deliver that sustained impact over time. So we are looking for people to commit both their pledge through the website, but also to consider core funding.
Alison?
Yes, funding really important. I think the other thing, of course, is that we What we hope to do is, if you like, mobilise a whole army of volunteers who we can train to do various things that will add capacity to what the charities, community groups and so forth are currently delivering. So if you imagine the STEM Ambassadors initiative, which has been so successful, where people pledge their time to go and work in schools to help children with their STEM learning, well, there are many thousands of people in Cambridge who aren't interested in spending their time doing that, but they might be interested in spending their time as a play worker working with young families, or as a care worker working with elderly people. Those are the people who we really want to encourage, please, to be part of this, because together we can really crack this. And if you're not going to join us, it's not going to happen.
No, you sit and watching it happen, because there's always room for somebody. And it's amazing what people know and what people are capable of. So we've already mentioned that there is a big article on this already in this week's Cambridge Independent. So that's a great place for people, because if they want to, we can't do you justice in a 10-minute interview. But if people want to find out more, there's this big interview. It's on the Cambridge Independent, which has hit the newsstands this morning. And the website, cambridge2030.org. Is
that's
that correct?
Right.
So if people go there, they can register their interest through there.
Thank you.
Right. We're going to keep our eye on this, because it sounds like you've really picked yourself a real heavy job to do. But it sounds like you've kind of got the overall picture of the thing, and everyone on board seems to know where you're going.
Well, I think something that's motivated and inspired, but at the same time frustrated myself and Alison, not just over the last year, but over the last five or six or longer in Cambridge, is that we see such potential. We see the number of organisations, the passion, the will. We see that actually increasing. But what we see as a gap are sometimes for those organisations and individuals to know where to channel their energy, where it's going to make the biggest impact. So while we see this as hugely challenging and daunting and scary and sometimes very off-putting as a result, we also see huge potential in the city to come together to collaborate and to really make a difference.
Well, it's great to have you both in this afternoon to learn about the initiative. I wish you both and everyone else who's involved with the organisation a huge amount of luck. Cambridge 105 Radio will, of course, be here if you need us. You only have to ask. There's airtime, and if we can put you in touch with people, we always will. But thanks very much indeed for coming in. That article, don't forget, is in this week's Cambridge Independent. But for now, Alison Taylor and Simon Humphries, thank you very much indeed for coming in this afternoon.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.